So awkward. Well, hello, Grace Church. Well, if anything is unexpected, it's that I am standing here on this platform. That alone is for sure. But by the goodness of God, here I am, continuing our Unexpected Leaders series. Pastor Brian began last week highlighting Peter's story. We saw that despite Peter's many mistakes or failures, Jesus not only restored him, but he used Peter as one of the central leaders of the early church. God can bring beauty from our ashes and redeem our stories for good. Now today I'll be sharing about a great yet unexpected leader in the Bible, Esther. Esther's story is recorded in the Old Testament, two books to the left of the Psalms. This story fits the mold for a Disney movie perfectly. Now, I'm honestly surprised it hasn't been produced yet. After some Googling, I even found that there's actually discussion and debate on Esther as a Disney princess, including one that compares the similarities between Queen Elsa and Queen Esther. So I do encourage all of you to read this book sometime this week. But for starters, why don't you turn there in your Bible as I give a quick summary of our character's story. Esther's story takes place during the Jewish exile in the kingdom of Persia, the capital city being called Susa. Some of you may remember when we studied Daniel and the Jews were under the rule of Babylon. Esther's story takes place sometime after Daniel's, after Persia defeated Babylon. Esther was a Jewish girl who had lost both her parents and was being raised by an older cousin named Mordecai. The king of Persia, Xerxes, throws a great banquet, and while he was, what the Bible tells us, high in spirits from wine, he commanded his eunuchs to bring his wife, Queen Vashti, wearing her crown and all so that he could show off her beauty to all the men at his banquet. Well, being a woman of dignity, my own words there, Vashti, who was having her own banquet for the women, refuses this request, and it greatly upsets the king. The men at Xerxes' banquet start having breakdowns with fears that she'll be a humiliation for all husbands if wives start to follow suit. They say there will be no end of disrespect and discord. So to teach all these crazy wives a lesson, the king banishes Vashti from ever coming into his presence again and declares that he will find a new wife, a wife even better than Vashti. And here we have Esther, who unexpectedly found herself being brought to the king's palace, placed in a harem for this more or less beauty contest. Now Mordecai had forbidden Esther to reveal her nationality or family background. No one would have known that she was one of the Jews. Well, after 12 months of beauty treatments, 6 months of oils, a little shout out to the essential oil crew out there, and 6 months with perfumes and cosmetics, it was Esther's turn to see the king. And Esther quickly won his favor, and he made her queen. So this Jewish orphan girl becomes Queen Esther of Persia. Cue the Disney music, right? But like all good stories, we have to overcome an obstacle. Listen to what happens. The king elevates a noble named Haman to be higher than any other. And when everyone else would bow down to Haman, Mordecai refused. In a room where everyone else was bowing down, Mordecai the Jew stood standing. And this makes Haman so angry, he convinces the king, unknowingly married to a Jew, to issue a decree for the destruction of all Jewish people in the empire, to annihilate them out of his anger and his embarrassment. When Mordecai gets word of this, he sends news to Esther, and in his greatest pep talk ever, he convinces her to unveil her true identity as a Jew and to confront the king, a move that could have cost her her life. But she ultimately saves her people. To top it off, Haman ends up getting impaled on a pole, which he set up for Mordecai's death. See, there's stuff in here for guys too. Now, the book ends with this. King Xerxes imposed tribute throughout the empire to its distant shores, and all his acts of power and might, together with a full account of the greatness of Mordecai, whom the king had promoted. Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Xerxes, distinguished among the Jews, and held in high esteem by his many fellow Jews, because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up for the welfare of all the Jews. So Mordecai may be the real hero and leader of this story, but Esther got the book deal. So let's talk about the unexpected. She's Jewish, she's orphaned, she's a minority, in the exile, and becomes queen. In completely unexpected circumstances, Esther rose to become an unexpected leader, which brings us to our big idea this week. Unexpected leaders are developed in unexpected circumstances. We'll be looking at four ways to develop the leader in you through unexpected circumstances. The first being, leaders know that God is present even when they can't see him. Now, Esther is one of two books in the Bible with no mention of God, the only other one being the Song of Solomon. Not one mention of him. There's no covenant talked about. There's no prayer spoken. And on the surface, this actually appears more like a political drama. But because we know that all scripture is God-breathed, we can be sure that he wants to show us that he is at work in this story. And once we begin looking at Esther's story between the lines, we can see that even though there is no mention of him, he was certainly present. Check these out. Queen Vashti's refusal to come when called, which led to the pursuit of a new queen. Esther was an orphan, and Mordecai chose to become her caretaker. She also just happened to be beautiful, have a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at, and she was still unmarried. Out of all the women, the king chose to make Esther the queen. Have you ever been in a circumstance where there seems to be no mention of God? Have you ever felt like God is silent? I have. Listen, it was completely unexpected to me to even be attending this church, let alone work for Grace. I didn't see it coming. I got out of grad school and had many breakdowns about my future, feelings of desperation over what I would be doing with my life, and no sign of God anywhere. It was like praying without anyone on the other side. Do you ever feel like God is being silent? That you call out and there's no response from him. That you're in a situation and you need him to intervene and he doesn't. I do. I just shared with my life group the other night. I said, I've been praying to a silent God. But just maybe, Esther knew with all her heart that God said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Nor will I in any degree leave you helpless. Nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. When we are tempted to ask, where is God? Be reassured today that the unfailing word of God says, he's right here. He is present in the midst of our circumstances and he is working all things for the good. Even when you can't see him, he holds your situation in his hands. Some of you need to hear that God has not forgotten you. You are not unseen. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The author of Hebrews says, this is what the ancients were commended for. Our God is ever almighty. This is very personal to me. This sustains me. When I can't see God, I trust in his promise that he will never leave me. We introduced a new song at the worship night a few weeks ago called New Wine. And my favorite line from that song says, when I trust you, I don't need to understand. Leaders know that even when we can't see God or feel God, we will walk in what we know to be true. And let's be a faith-filled people. Amen. Okay, number two, leaders understand that their position is their platform. Now, if leadership at its core is influence, then all of us have been given some kind of platform to lead, a platform of influence. How you woke up today, that's your platform. That's the position that God has given you. Some of you like it, and some of you don't. But every position where we find ourselves is a platform from which to lead. Whatever position Esther found herself in, she did well. Over and over, we see a repeated phrase in Esther's story. She won the favor of. Esther was intentional in whatever position she found herself in. her relationship with Mordecai, her relationship with Haggai, who led the harem, her relationship with the king. Esther never sought to be the queen. I don't believe she even ever wanted to impress anybody. She was just faithful and responsible with her current situation, and God expanded her influence. God is building the leader in us using our current circumstances, even the unexpected ones. And here we have the most well-known verse in Esther's story. Mordecai sends a letter back to her regarding the potential genocide and says this: "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." He's saying, "Look, Esther, I know this looks bad, but what if you are in this very position for this specific time? And for you, could it be that you're in your place of work for such a time as this? Could it be you live in that neighborhood? You cross paths with that person. You were there when this incident happened. Your kids get that coach. You get the same waitress at the diner. You're facing sickness or standing by a loved one who is. There are moments when God has said, you are essential in this place, and I intend to bring a blessing through you on this platform." If you told me 16 years ago that I would be 36 and unmarried and childless, I would have never believed you. I had my life planned out: a husband, 6 children, a few dogs, and the whole white picket fence. But here I am, handling an unexpected situation. And every day I make a decision to lead on this platform. It's not a platform I wanted or asked for, but it's here. And I am pleased to give God glory while I stand on it. And that girl, 16 years ago, I was a volunteer in youth ministry. I led a group of 7 girls. I didn't want to lead the entire thing, nor did I ever apply to work in full-time ministry. My friends, be faithful with what God has in front of you today. You know, it's a common misperception that great things can only happen when this happens, when blank happens. When I get here, then I will rise up and lead. When I get this position, when this event happens, when this person comes into my life, then great things will happen. In the meantime, we're just waiting. But God is watching, and He's ready to develop something in us in the waiting. Esther wasn't just faithful when she was elevated to queen. Mordecai didn't become faithful when the king noticed him. When these two were unseen, they lived with character, integrity. They did the right thing. They didn't give up. Mordecai was a leader when all he did was take care of Esther. And Esther was a leader when she was one of many in the king's harem. Be faithful with what is in front of you today. I apologize to all the planners, but I don't really have a 5-year plan. But my daily plan is to be responsible with what God puts in my path. A conversation, a relationship, a decision that needs made. In whatever situation I find myself, how can I set an example? How can I be a leader here and not a follower? Leaders find the right thing to do in a situation, and they do it. That is where leadership muscles grow. So I ask you this morning, what God-given platform are you standing on? Where has He placed you? So we've been reminded God is present even when we can't see Him. We've learned that our positions, even the unexpected ones, are the platforms God has given us from which to lead. And here's our third. Leaders seek the wisdom of others. For me, one of the most endearing qualities of Esther is how she stayed attentive to the counsel of Mordecai, even when she became queen. This shows great leadership, placing herself in a posture where she acknowledges she doesn't know everything there is to know and can become better with outside wisdom. The Proverbs are filled with verses about the benefit of seeking wisdom. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Or, "Blessed is the one that finds wisdom and the one that gets understanding." We will never get to a position where we know it all. Leaders are always learning, always placing themselves in positions to grow and have their minds challenged and their dreams expanded. Whose counsel are you seeking? Maybe somebody who has walked through what you're walking through. Maybe someone who is further along on the journey. We learn from Esther that turning our ear to a trusted source for instruction and guidance is the best thing that we can do. Always seek counsel from those around you or under you. One of the greatest things I could ever do for our ministry is to talk to the students. It's actually transformed our ministry when we started turning our ear to student feedback. If you're a CEO or a high-level executive, ask the lowest-ranked person what it's like to work for you or your organization. If you're a mom or a dad, ask your kids for feedback on things going on at home or what they want their summer to look like. I believe that behind every leader is the one that they follow. And for us, it's Jesus. The Holy Spirit himself is our counselor, our wisdom. Scripture says that it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life." The best leaders are the ones that seek wisdom. Finally, number four, leaders are ready to face unexpected risk and challenge. Mordecai and Esther faced so much risk. Remember, Mordecai refused to bow to Haman and worship something other than God himself. This boldness could have cost him his life. The instrument for his murder was being crafted. Esther's boldness to approach the king without being summoned by him was punishable by death. Look what she says here in chapter 4. "I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." What God calls us to will often require us to take risks. It'll require us to face challenges head on. We will risk our reputations for doing the right thing. We will risk the confusion of other people. I still have to laugh when I think about the person who learned that I worked for a church and he still asked me what I do in real life. My friends, leadership will always, it'll require risk and it'll require resolve. Leadership will cost you something. But if you're passionate about one thing, it's always worth the risk. Whether your time, your money, your energy. But tell me a great story where there was no risk or challenge. It's what God uses to create the leaders inside of us. Esther risked her life to save her people. Moses took the first step into the sea. David faced a giant. Ruth stayed with Naomi. Stephen stood up to the Sanhedrin. Peter and Paul kept preaching, and Jesus gave 33 years of his life to bridge the gap between us and our loving God. The best stories are written through challenge. They may come unexpectedly, but stand firm and face it head on through prayer and counsel from God's word. Esther is a great story of leadership and courage. It's a great reminder that God is with us when we don't know where he is. It's a great reminder that God wants us to use our current platforms to seek wisdom, and it encourages us to be ready to face risk and challenge. I want to close by asking, what risk are you afraid of taking? Where do you need courage to step into your potential influence? You know, I started by sharing with you that it's unexpected I would be standing in front of you this morning, and that's the absolute truth. I have no formal Christian education, no seminary, no ordination. I fell in love with Jesus 22 years ago. I devoured his word. I read everything I could get my hands on. I was attentive to the Holy Spirit or traveled to conferences for years and sat across the table from my Ima, my grandma, with open Bibles. When I first came to Grace, the current youth pastor, the one in position before me, he actually took me out to lunch and asked if I wanted to join his youth ministry team. I smile when I think about it, but I told him, No, I'm done with youth ministry. I'm ready to move on to something else. Today's graduating class is my 8th graduation celebration in Grace Youth, so God is very funny. Or I spent years reading Billy Graham's books, traveled for several seminars at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove down in Asheville. That was a long time ago. And cut to years later, I sat in my own city around a table of leaders from the BGEA asking me to lead the student ministry for the festival. Church, we learn from Esther that leadership is not a destination, but it's an unexpected journey. Be faithful and obedient with today, and know that God holds all things in His hands and in His timing. God bless you.